Hello and welcome to another Loose Cannons here with Mary Sherwin and
Helen Steins.
And we're here on Midlands 103. So we are going to have a chat about the Garda who was dismissed, I suppose, for want of a better way of putting it, from the training college in Templemore because he had a visible tattoo on his hand. Now, it did make the news, not as big a news item as I thought it might have been, because apparently he seems to have been singled out and there were two others who also had tattoos and there didn't seem to be anything much in the news about them. But what do you think, first of all, about tattoos in general, Helen?
Well, personally, I like tattoos. I have quite an amount of tattoos.
OK, how many?
Ooh, so let me think now. 1, 2... 3, 4,
five. She's not stripping, just in case anybody thinks she is.
Well, I have 5, I suppose, in my upper body where you can see. And then I have like a drawing across the top of my back. I won't mention now what that has been referred to because it might not be good for the airwaves, but it is called a tramp stamp, some people call it, which I think is terrible, actually, in fact. But anyway, so I've got it's like a collage of animals.
Okay.
But at the lower end of my back.
Okay.
Which you can't see, obviously, unless I'm wearing a very short top or I lean down or, you know, or anything, or that's just the way it can't be seen. But I particularly do like tattoos, and I think tattoos have come on in years, as in, like, you know, they're artists, you know, you have to have your tattoo designed before. I have one on my arm, and it's actually a freehand drawing of my son's eye.
Oh.
So like that means something.
Yeah.
But like maybe then after I got them, then, you know, I certainly, if I was going somewhere, you know, like that I needed to be very respectful looking, I certainly wouldn't have any of my tattoos on show. I'd be very conscious of it.
And why? Just as a matter of interest, because you obviously love them. You have so many of them.
Yeah.
So why would you not want to?
I think it's no different to anything else that people have high opinions on. You know, that I think no matter how much things change and no matter how nice tattoo parlours become, you know, there's a big tattoo seminar in Dublin and like tattoo artists from all over Europe and the world come to it. There's tattoo parlours in places in Europe that people travel to go to, and they are artists, but I don't think that we're ever going to change some people's opinion on them, as in, you know, that it's, we're never going to change
yeah.
what people think of things, and are people stuck in their ways about things, and, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion and everybody's entitled to like or dislike or to have an opinion on something. Once it doesn't actually interfere with other people, you know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we were discussing mullets there on one of our other shows, and we don't particularly like mullets, but I certainly don't have an opinion of anybody with a mullet, and I don't have any bad opinion about them. But I do think, you know, as you get on in years, you realise that, you know, you're not going to change people's opinions on things.
And it's funny because I did ask a few people today just what their take on tattoos were and if they knew anything about the new story. And again, very divided, as you say, that people have very strong opinions.
Mm.
It ranged from hate them, abhor them, don't want to see them, don't want to be dealing with anybody who has them, to, yeah, I have 4, I have 5, you know, my kids have them, that kind of thing. And again, the art that you mentioned, that was a common theme that people who liked them, that they mentioned, that it was a piece of art.
Mm.
And I think for me, I know my son has one, and he thought long and hard about A, what he was going to get on his body because it is permanent, and B, where he was going to get it. And I think the where is important, and you talked about
Very,
that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people do choose them to have them in places that they're not going to be seen. Mm. And I know as a parent, that was one of the things that I would have kind of chatted him, well, where actually are you going to have it?
Yeah,
are
because you have to remember as well your opinions on how you feel about your body in your 18s or in your 20s and your 30s. That you have to think about, you know, that tattoo is going to be there in 20 years time, and you know, you kind of have to have that in your mind. And now that I was just thinking there when you were saying that to me, as a person that has a number of tattoos and as a person that would like tattoos, when my son discussed about getting one, I was a bit kind of going, oh, not too sure now, you know, you want to really think about it. And you know, when he did think about it and it went off the sort of radar for a while, he actually hasn't got one.
Ah, okay.
You know, my partner's son has a beautiful sleeve of tattoos on his arm, and he's got a, like an oak tree, and like it's a whole sleeve, and it's like, it's an amazing picture, like, you know, and it really suits them, you know, and it's on one arm. Yeah. And people get them on a full leg, like, you know, like, they're not cheap either. Like, it's very expensive.
That is the thing. I mean, and as well as that, they hurt. I mean, I don't know how anybody can sit for that long.
Very sore.
And I was chatting to somebody today and they showed me that they had a sleeve and they said the sorest place on the arm to get it was around the elbow because it was just bone. There wasn't really a lot of skin and there wasn't any fat. It was just literally straight on.
Yeah.
So, and again, trying to, and he also is trying to get one removed. And
that's
laser,
quite sore.
Well, apparently the laser, the smell of burning flesh was not very pleasant and it hurts.
Yeah.
And any women out there who've gone for laser therapy for hair removal, they'll know
it stings. It's sore
like hell.
Yeah.
So that as well, and we know that our pain threshold is quite high. So, you know, and the cost of even getting it removed, because as you were saying, you know, you do have them, and as you age and your body ages and gets saggier, then what is the tattoo going to look like? So you do need to think about, where am I going to put it?
Well, I have a horse, and I know when I put on a bit of weight, it turns into, you know, a big, huge horse that maybe could pull a plough, you know.
It's in foal, is it, Helen?
It's in foal sometimes, yeah. So you can judge. But yeah, they are very sore. I got one on my wrist and it felt like the needle was dragging through my veins. And another very uncomfortable moment, you're supposed to keep them covered, you know, when for a short period of time after you have them, when they're fresh. And I fell asleep and my T-shirt stuck to the tattoo.
No.
And I actually thought I was going to pass out with the pain because it was actually sorer than having it done because the clothing was actually stuck to the skin. Oh, horrendous, horrendous. So there is, it is a big commitment and there's a lot of work involved in it. Do I think that the Garda are correct in saying what they're saying? Yeah, I think, like, as a person that likes tattoos, I still do think, yeah, I think they're correct. Like, if they're standing on a guard and, you know, the Taoiseach is there and the president is there and, you know, they're wearing their really nice uniform, I don't think that a tattoo, no matter where it is or what it is, sticking up somewhere blends in with the whole scene. And I think anybody that thought that they were going to join the guards and not have foreseen that this is going to be an issue, I think they were kind of fooling themselves as well, because I mean the army don't allow tattoos anywhere. The army don't allow beards, you know, so even when the army go away and they're up in the mountains for 3 or 4 days, they still have to shave every day, you know, whereas the guards are allowed to have beards.
Beards, yeah. I thought, like, in his defence, this young man, I thought he was aware of the stipulation that above collar, which you'd presume to be shirt collar, that he wasn't to have, and that you're not supposed to have any tattoos. So what he actually did, to the best of my knowledge, was get that removed.
Wow.
And I think he spent a couple of thousand trying
to get
that
removed. Yeah, there's the expense in it, yeah.
So he did get that one removed. But I think the one that he left on his hand, he thought that perhaps he might be able to cover it.
Yeah, and I think it was very personal as well. If I read correctly, it was a tiger that he had for his son that was having some treatment. He was very sick during COVID and that the tattoo meant something to him. And I mean, yeah, that's very personal as well. And, you know, but...
Yeah, I was just... See, I was wondering, first of all, he got in. And and how come that he got as far as he did without somebody saying to him, no, sorry, or during the medical or during any.
And how many
tests.
Weeks has he been in Templemore before this came? They joined the 31st of July.
Yeah.
So they arrived down there that Monday morning. And like, I know because my friend joined that week as well. And like, there was a lot of work involved in getting there on the 31st of July. There was a lot of communication, what they had to do, where they had to be, medicals, fitness tests.
Yeah.
Like, so much times where he would have physically been seen. And I don't know how, if he did think he was going to get away with it, I don't know how anybody didn't pull him aside and say, here, do you know. And then there's the financial end of it as well, because I guess in the army, if you arrive with a tattoo and it goes, like, you know, that they don't notice it, you're gone. That's it. There's no coming back. You know, I know he was sent home and he was told, you know, have the tattoo removed, but it's going to take a long period of time. And I think what his argument was, he had given up a full-time job to join the army, join the guards. The guards.
But this is the thing, if coming back to what I was saying, if he made the selection process and yeah. went through, I mean, you're doing a medical, you're not fully dressed all the time, you're going to strip, you're going to take clothes off. So surely to God, unless he was doing the Michael Jackson and keeping a glove on the whole time, I mean, I don't know.
Why did somebody not see it?
Plus then there's the whole, there's really high attrition rates in the Gardaí. They're not staying. They're not coming in. Mm. Apparently Simon Harris was talking the other day and he was saying that they were due to hit 1,000 this year. They're nowhere near that on their intake figures. And then they have somebody who genuinely made an effort to get rid of one above collar, which he read, and then
passed the fitness test,
passed everything, and then suddenly he's left with, well, no, sorry, you have this one. Mm. So I wasn't like one of those love, hate, you know, gangland kind of things on the knuckles.
Or a skull on his neck.
Or a swastika, worse, even on his head.
Yeah.
You know, and there are people who do tattoo their heads and then grow their hair over it or whatever.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything, you know, affiliating. Having said that, okay, there is always a second side to the story. Perhaps the reason that the Gardaí don't want any kind of, you know, markings of any distinct markings on you is because maybe if there was a gang and they knew, well, that's the guard that did it, you know, and then you'd be targeted. So I can get it, you know, for a safety point of view that you're not readily identifiable. But on the other hand, and it is personal choice. I mean, you were talking about that as well.
Yeah.
And yes, it was his choice to go to the guards. But the guards should have noticed this earlier. I just think it was very late in the day for them suddenly to pull him.
And I think in fairness as well, that he should have been, you know, and there, it wasn't just him, there was two other people as well. And, you know, when they do go down to Templemore, like they're not going to be very rich for the next 6 months or 9 months, however length of time it takes. And then they are going, they go out into the stations for some money, and they're not going to be rich when they're doing that either. So I think to expect the guy to have the money to be able to have it removed and to continue on there was quite unfair as well, you know. And then, you know, even if he was told to go away, then so now he has no job. He's gone from the guards. He's put a lot of money into it. And now, like, what's he going to do? And then back through the selection process again.
Yeah.
I
don't think for members of the public that it would be a priority if they're in danger, whether a guard has or hasn't a tattoo. I don't think a tattoo is going to be a deciding factor. Well, I'd like the guard to come, but not the one with the tattoo. I don't think that's, you know, I don't think it's going to be a priority for anybody who's in trouble or who's in danger and needs to call the services. Mm. And Simon Harris, again, did talk to the news. I think it was The Examiner or something. I saw an interview where he was saying that they should relax the rules maybe. Now, obviously it's not his call, it's going to be Helen McAtee's has to look at that. And I do take what you were saying on board earlier as well, that, you know, tattoos in the past have been associated very much with kind of, in inverted commas, rugged lifestyles, like sailors or prisoners. I remember Prison Break, where he had his whole body tattooed. I love that.
Or people got them on holidays in stupid places when they were drunk and they were silly, either it be a barcode or a silly picture of a girl or an axe or something stupid. Ridiculous looking.
But you know, the people, as you say, this guard got it for sentimental reasons for his son. There's a friend of mine I have, and she got the word perspective tattooed on her foot, on the side of her foot. And you know, so tattoos have meaning, and I think so long as the tattoo has a meaning for a person, and you know, and then I know, yes, I know I said as well there are two sides to every story. And yes, there is this rule, there is a dress code, as you say. You know, if the Taoiseach was there, you wouldn't want maybe a whole rule.
Well, I'm sure the tattoo on his hand isn't massive either, but so it should be then that it's done as like that they can't just say that the guards can or can't have tattoos. So if they go through the process of being interviewed and fitness tested and aptitude tests and whatever else tests they go through, it should be a very personal thing. And it should be taken into consideration what the tattoo is, what it means, you know, like just plain common sense. Like, you know, like I've got one Picola Pud written on my arm with snowdrops on it for my pony that died. So that means a lot to me. And I've got a paw print on my other hand, and I have Toujours avec moi still, so still with me, on my arm for my dogs. And that means a lot to me as well, you know. So, like, It's a personal thing, you know, and I don't think it's something that should be very general, saying, oh, the guard shouldn't have tattoos, you know, like soldiers can have them once they can't be seen when they're wearing their good uniform. So it's just unfortunate that that chaps was on his hand. If it had been up above his wrist, it would have been fine.
Somebody else had said to me that they know, you know, another member of the Garda Síochána, and they actually have a tattoo, but it's on their upper arm.
Yeah.
So that even if they were wearing a short sleeved shirt,
it can't be
that
seen.
It can't be seen. And I think it is that visibility. I know somebody else was telling me today about somebody that who was working in Penny's, and in the height of summer they had a polo neck on because it was one of the rules, the dress code was you're not supposed to. Question for you, because this came up as well. If there was a ban Garda with a tattoo, how would you feel about that? Because we're presuming as well that it's only male Gardaí who have the tattoos. One of those three could be a ban Garda or a trainee ban Garda.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel about a ban Garda with a tattoo that could be seen or not seen?
Yeah, I suppose no different to a male one, really. I just think people need to come into the whole thing of it being art rather than something stupid that somebody did or just some horrible thing, like, you know.
So the whole personal choice piece. And
The
Aborigines, I know in different cultures, they have, it's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
And I know for them, it's part of the culture. And I know my son, when he wanted, he's 23 now, and the rule was you don't get it until you're 21.
Yeah.
And he fought when he was 18. He really wanted to get one. And it's really interesting because he started cooking in a local restaurant here called The Acorn. And he decided when he got his tattoo in 21, that it was going to be the Celtic symbol for oak, because that he has grown from the acorn into the oak. And no more than you were talking about earlier
on. Yeah, the oak tree. Yeah.
But no more than you were talking about trying to keep it, he had to put cellophane on it, and he's working in the kitchen, so it was really hard to try and keep it clean and make sure, Jesus.
And the sweat stinging it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, why did you do it? But anyway.
They're very, very sore afterwards, you know? Like, it's a big commitment to somebody to do it, like, you know? But I do think the guards should maybe have given that chap the opportunity, you know, to continue on training. They're going to be 9 months in training, and it does take a long time to remove it as well, you know, give him the opportunity to remove it. Or I just think it's bad press as well for, like, the fact that the guards are they're having recruitment issues, and then I think it's kind of making them, I don't know, like, everybody has a tattoo.
Well, no, everybody doesn't.
Well, no, everybody doesn't, but a large portion of people have tattoos.
Yeah.
And As a lot of other of those recruits down there, they do all, I mean, I'm sure that not they don't all have, a large percentage of them probably do have tattoos, except you just can't see them.
Yeah.
So I do think it's something that needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it's not going to happen, I'd say, today or tomorrow. I'd say that this debate is going to continue, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Although it's opened up the conversation around it, which I think is really useful.
Yeah. And in this day and age, we're very lucky, in fact, that, you know, laser removal, you know, has become, like, it's very cosmetic now, and people have it done a lot more than they did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's far more accessible. And I'm sure, even though it is expensive, it's a lot cheaper than it was years ago as well. And I'm sure it works a lot quicker than it did years ago.
Have one, so I don't know. But I've often thought about getting one, and I thought about maybe and where I'd get it and all that kind of thing. And it's interesting because I suppose tattoos, they've been there so long. I mean, I did a bit of, you were the research girl usually, I did a little bit of research today. 3,330 years BC, the first person, Otzi, apparently is named, and he was the person who had the first tattoos. So, you know, when you think about it, it's been, you know, tattoos and body art and henna, you know, Indian weddings.
Yeah.
And
so,
you know, we've always been decorating our bodies in one way, shape or form, whether it's through piercings or painting our bodies or art or whatever.
Where do Garda stand with piercings then?
That I don't know.
There's the question. Yeah. So if you're a lady guard, how many ears piercings are you allowed to have, you know? Yeah. Because, I mean, people have the same opinion on piercings or as they do on tattoos. So, you know, it's opening up a can of worms, really, like, you know.
And it's really interesting because for me, ear piercings would be okay. Whereas if you got a tongue piercing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. I did have my belly button pierced.
Did Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did have. When did you get rid of it?
I had it from when I was about 18. And then when I had my son in 2001, I obviously had to remove the belly button piercing and didn't put it back in. Yeah. Okay. I had my nose pierced.
As well?
Yeah, that was quite uncomfortable because that kind of is hard to put in and out. And it's not that you're, when you hit your nose piercing, it's not actually your nose that hurts. It's like a nerve that travels. So if you hit it with a towel or you're trying to clean makeup off a cotton wool and you pull it off, the actual pain shoots up into your eyeball. So rather than standing there holding your nose, you're going, oh, my nose, but you're holding your eye. So it's a strange, strange sensation. I did get, I don't know what it's called, but so below my lip and above my chin, that part there, I got that pierced once. I don't know why, I'll be honest with you. And I was driving home and you have to, because it swells, you have to get a large bar put into it.
Ooh.
So then when you're talking or eating, because the bar is too large, it gets stuck in your tooth and it kind of drags it.
Ouch.
So You're kind of talking like that then for a few days as well, saying, no, it's fine, it's not sore. It's not sore at all, even though it's septic and red. So I put in a good few days of that and then I gave into it and I took it out.
So it actually had gotten infected, had it?
It was very sore, very, very sore. So I can't imagine the pain that people go through.
Mm.
I particularly think tongue piercings are disgusting.
They're nasty. My other son has a tongue piercing and he's broken the ball on the top of it a couple of times and had to get it re-pierced. And I was delighted when the first one happened and I was thinking, oh great, you don't have to get it done. Sure, look at, you've done it now. You don't need to do it again.
Yeah, that's done with, darling.
Yeah,
finished
back,
with.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
no matter what people, when they have their tongue pierced, they don't realise that they're fiddling around with it. But as they're talking to you, you can see this coloured bobble, like, floating over and back, and you're trying to have a conversation with somebody, like, and you're looking at them going,
well, you're being hypnotized, it's like, by this ball going back and forth
and
time.
Playing with their
Also tragus. Now, I don't mind that. That's the piece in your ear that kind of sticks out, the little cartilage piece. That's not so bad. And I don't mind upper earlobe as well.
Yeah, I had that done as well. It's very, it's actually quite hard to heal as well because it's not really fat. It's probably more cartilage than,
Okay.
So maybe we should do a separate whole show on body piercings and tattoos, you know, a whole other world away from the Gardaí, like. You know, I wonder what the older Garda population feel about tattoos and piercings and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, I imagine. Well, maybe some of them have, and I'd imagine though it was much stricter back then.
Yeah,
that maybe, you know, and that maybe they didn't, and families might have decided, well, no, you know, you're not going to get them, and then children would have listened.
Yeah, to their parents.
Yeah, but I mean, it's personal choice, and I think it's up to everybody to decide what they want to do. At the same time, you know, there are people out there, as I found out today when I asked you know, some of my friends, you know, there are some people who would hate to see anybody with a tattoo serving them or, especially in the guards or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah, very opinionated about it. I feel sorry for that guy because, you know, it's a massive life decision to make, you know, to join the guards and the amount of work that he put into it and the three of them, so there's three of them gone. Yeah. I feel very sorry for them, you know, and they're obviously all young people as well, like, so it's.
But and it's interesting as well, the age limit for guards is 35.
Wow, okay.
And I know that would then cut off because, again, I saw that in an article recently where they were saying, you know, could they relax that as well?
Yeah.
That, you know, so what if you're 36?
Could you not do it? Yeah.
And there used to be height restrictions as well.
Yeah, that's true. I was never going to be tall enough to be a guard. Never.
I don't know what it was. 5'10", was it? Or what was it?
Like, I mean, who's 5'10"? Like,
men, there are a lot more men than women 5'10", but there are tall. My sister's 6 foot. You know, and I'm 5 something. I'm not 5'10", but I'm near enough.
I'm a good 5'2".
Good 5'2".
Yeah.
And then I don't know what did Bangor that also have to be the same height? I'm not sure.
I guess they might have been a bit shorter, but they still had to be taller than me.
But you're even looking at, and I was talking about this with somebody recently, Aer Lingus hostesses. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to be a certain height.
I was never going to. So when I was in school, I couldn't be an air hostess. I couldn't be a guard. Like, what difference did it make? Like,
yeah,
do you know, just because you're really short and
you couldn't wear glasses because I'm only thinking I'm.
Oh,
glasses
so you're out as well, and I wear glasses. Yeah. And I'm short.
And
so.
You're short. You're screwed.
Oh, I feel so bad.
Sorry,
done
probably
by.
Shouldn't have said that. You're not. That's not good. You wear glasses. I wear glasses. You're short. And you wear glasses as well, so it's not good for us.
Oh, it's not good. It's a good job there's not a height restriction and a glasses restriction in Midlands 103, or we'd be, well, there'd be a lot of people in trouble. Yeah.
Well, that's true, because Roy Jennings is glass wearer. Height restriction. He's tall enough, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so anything else we want to say?
No, I think maybe it's a learning curve now that the guards, and I don't think they realised that it was going to be such a big thing. As you know, I'd say they thought that guy would just go away, you know, and that would be it. Like, but I don't think they thought that it would be such a big thing in the news and people talking about it. And
is it though? Because that was the thing. The people that I sent the message to get some feedback, some of them had known about it, and then some of them hadn't, and the majority actually hadn't known about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, A, how did the newspaper get the story? Did he go to the newspapers?
Yeah, kind of. Well, I don't know. I kind of thought by reading it that he did.
Okay.
You know, but I guess he feels really hard done by. Mm. I don't blame him either. Mm. I had a particular interest in it because my son's girlfriend, she joined the recruits on the 31st, so she joined the same day as him.
Oh, so she's actually in his group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why when I seen it, I went, like, oh my God, like, you know. Yeah, so that's why I had a particular interest in it. And I think maybe that's why I feel so sorry for him as well,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, personally knowing somebody and knowing how such a big deal it was, you know, because you're gone down to Templemore, you're leaving your family, your pets, you know, your loved ones, and you're down there. And it's a huge commitment. And when you want to be a guard, you want to be a guard. And and it's really, really passionate about it. And I just think it's a real, I think it's a shame on the higher up guards when they have somebody there that is obviously so passionate to be a guard to turn them away because of a little tiger on his hand. You know, I just think it's, you know, he shouldn't be given the opportunity to let it be removed and continue on. And, you know, they should have a way of, I don't know, a cheaper way of doing it, like, as well, maybe that they pay it off or that it's paid for them and they pay it back when they get their wages or something like that. Like, if they do want them. And they obviously did want him because he wouldn't have been there if they didn't want him.
That's the piece. Yeah. Yeah. That could they have done some kind of a payment plan or could they have done something? That
surely
to
God
to.
They could have had. And I'm sure there's plenty of lasers, clinics out there that would do a payment plan for the guards or for any of the army or anybody that's a huge, you know, organisation like that. They know they're going to get their money, like.
And I think, as you say, going into the guards, it's not a decision that you're going to take lightly.
No.
It's a career that, you know, is dangerous. You know that in certain parts of the country you're going to be putting your life on the line at times, going into very dangerous situations.
And he has kids as well.
Has so, he? Okay.
Yeah, it was for his son, the tattoo. Was
oh yeah
so
right.
He has kids, so you know, so that's even a bigger decision for him to make, you know. So I have a lot of sympathy for him.
It'll be interesting to see how this pans out and to see, does anything change? Does it open up the discussion around the relaxing of the rules as Simon Harris was suggesting, or is it going to remain that this is a stipulation? It'll be interesting to see how that goes.
We shall see.
We shall see indeed. Anyway, thanks for listening, and it's Luce Cannon signing off. Thanks.
Take care.